Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's right. It is still the Easter season. Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Welcome to all of you who are here, and welcome to all of you who are watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Hopefully you didn't forget who I was since I was gone last weekend. Going to visit my family in Connecticut. We had a wonderful visit, just me and my son Max, and I'm very thankful to Vicar Brett Jones for filling in while I was gone. I just want to publicly acknowledge how grateful I am for not just filling in for me, but just what a wonderful servant of the Lord he is. And this past week was call day at the seminary, so that means it's only exactly 1 year from the time we're going to find out where Pastor Brett Jones will be heading with his family. So really looking forward to that. I'm really glad to be back here in Hoyleton with all of you. God has given us a beautiful day to worship him together and receive his gifts of word and sacrament. We're going to follow Divine Service Setting 2 for our worship today, and it's all printed there for you in the bulletin. I invite you to please stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the words of the introit. A little while, and you will see me no longer. I will extol you, my God and King. Every day I will bless you. The Lord is gracious and merciful. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A little while, and you will see me no longer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Amen. for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for the fifth Sunday of Easter comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth?" And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue now as we chant Psalm 150. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. The epistle reading is from the first letter of St. John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia in verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is "Christ, the Word of God Incarnate." Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from John chapter 15. And in this passage, we hear one of Jesus' famous I am statements. In this particular case, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so by using this analogy of a plant, helps us to see how we are connected to him where true life is found. And of course, anywhere that we grow, anywhere that our branches sprawl out from here, we know that that root is always secure in Christ our whole lives. Thanks be to God. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last Sunday was a big change of pace for me, you know, out of my normal Sunday morning routine. Things were a lot different for me since I was out visiting family in Connecticut. And even though there were a lot of things that were different, there still was a lot of familiarity to what I got to experience last Sunday. I was sitting there in the pew of my hometown congregation where I was raised, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Terryville, Connecticut. And it's almost like it was being transported, you know, back to childhood for just 1 hour, you know? So arriving with my parents and going and sitting in the pew where my family has always sat, probably since the beginning of time, you know, and looking around and seeing a lot of familiar faces. People used to look a lot taller when I was a kid, you know. And I'm not very tall now, but at least I can look people in the eye, you know. And listening and hearing the sounds of the organ that I remember from when I was little. And, you know, when people come up and greet me back there, they don't call me pastor, you know. They just call me Nate, because that's what I was. I was just Nate growing up as a kid. And so there's just a lot of familiarity to that. But for all the things that haven't changed, I mean, obviously there are a lot of things that are different, too. I mean, it's been 17 years since I first left Connecticut for college. I'm 34 now, so that's half my life ago. The congregation has definitely changed and morphed over time. The world certainly has changed. I've changed too, you know. I'm grown up, I got kids of my own. I had Max with me on that trip, so that was an experience, you know, getting to actually sit in the pew with Max, trying to keep him quiet and calm for a whole hour, you know? And I'm not going to say that I was very successful doing that, even though I did have both of my parents there to help me, and I even had Max's favorite thing in the world, snacks, right? But all the goldfish crackers in the world can't keep a 19-month-old occupied for a whole hour. So it just gave me a better appreciation for everything that Katie goes through on a regular basis with all three of our kids. But the point is, you know, you have an experience like that, sitting in that church again, looking around, and I'm reflecting on how much different my life is now and my situation is now compared to the way it used to be when I sat in that pew every single Sunday. And yet, looking around there, I'm remembering that no matter how different my life is, the roots of my faith in Jesus Christ will always remain the same. So I look around that sanctuary and I see, you know, the baptismal font where I was baptized back in March of 1987 as a 3-month-old baby. And I look at that altar, and that's the altar where I first received the Lord's Supper as an 8th-grade confirmand in the year 2000, right? And I look at that pulpit, And the pulpit is where that same Word of God pretty much shaped my understanding of who God is, the love of Christ, the good news of life and forgiveness and salvation. And you know, just to put some icing on this cake, because God is the master of weaving everything together perfectly, the confirmation verse that I received in that sanctuary just so happens to be the text of the sermon that now I get to preach the following Sunday right here in a different pulpit halfway across the country in Hoyleton, because my confirmation verse is John 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." How true that is. This passage comes before us today with absolutely perfect timing, not just because I have my recent trip to Connecticut, but also because of the time of the year that we're in, right? This is the Easter season. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And it's the spring, and a lot of us are in the middle of planting, right? Planting the fields, planting our gardens. Things are a lot greener than they were just a few weeks ago. And then you have this imagery of the vine and the branches shooting out from the vine, right? And it's just perfect for what we're experiencing in creation right now. I'm certainly no master gardener. I'm no horticulturalist. I know that a lot of you have a lot more experience growing things than I'll ever have. But the way that Jesus describes this here is so simple. It's so easy for us to grasp. Even a novice like me can really pick it up the first time around, right? If you want to bear fruit, you need to be connected to the vine, right? If you want to be healthy, if you want to thrive, then you can't be disconnected from the source of life itself. And sometimes, even if you already are connected to the vine, even if you already are bearing some fruit, God will actually take that and make you even healthier. He will tend to you. He'll care for you. He'll do everything necessary to make it so that you're bearing more fruit, healthier fruit. Like what Jesus says in verse 2, "Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." That gets me thinking about the peach tree that's in the backyard of the parsonage over here, the one that Pastor Tylen planted a few years before we moved to Hoyleton. I know it's not a vine, but it's the same concept, right? I could just let that tree go. I could just let it grow however it wants to and do whatever it wants, and you know what? It'll bear some fruit, right? But if I tend to the tree, if I care for the tree, if I prune the tree year after year, then the peaches are going to be bigger. They're going to be healthier, right? The tree is going to be even more abundant. But the tree can't prune itself. And in the same way, you and I cannot prune ourselves spiritually. We need God to tend to us, to care for us, to prune us, not just year after year, but day after day, hour after hour, remove those negative, bad, unhealthy branches from our lives by the power of His Holy Spirit, and nourish us and water us, right? And make us healthier and stronger all the time. That's what we need. Now, that being said, when you leave the church this morning, you go down those front steps, if you turn to your right and you go over by the wheelchair ramp and you turn toward my house, from that angle, what you can see is basically a tale of two trees. Because you can really see that healthy green peach tree in the back. But there's also this other tree in the front, and some of you have noticed this new red bud that was planted there in the fall, and it doesn't look like it's woken up yet this spring. In fact, some of you have mentioned, is that tree dead? Now, thankfully, if you walk up really close to that tree, there are a few teeny tiny little buds on it, so we know that it's not dead, but it's struggling. And, you know, again, I'm no expert, but I'm told that it's very common for a tree, when it's transplanted from one location to another, to go through something called transplant shock. which basically means, you know, as a tree is uprooted and moved, some of those roots are lost. And so occasionally what can happen is it'll take a tree maybe a year, maybe even longer, to kind of recover from that and start to really thrive again. The roots of a tree are obviously what connects the tree to the ground, to the soil, to all the good, healthy stuff, right? But if a tree doesn't have the roots to be able to absorb all that water and all those nutrients, it's not going to do the tree any good. And whether we're talking about trees or we're talking about vines, like Christ mentions in John 15, all of this is really one big parable to help us understand our own personal connection to Jesus Christ, who is the true source of life. He is the vine, and we are the branches. He is the soil, and we are the trees. So only by abiding in him, which means having faith in him, which means trusting Jesus in his word, looking to him and him alone for the answers to life's big questions, and then, of course, absorbing that forgiveness and mercy and salvation for those times when we go our own way, we make our own decisions, and we end up doing things that are ultimately going to harm us and make us not thrive, right? The sins that we commit against the Lord and against one another. So only by having that sort of connection is one able to not only have hope to live, but actually to thrive wherever we're planted. And when I say thrive, I don't mean that, you know, the way that the world might consider a thriving life. You know, the world might look at you and say you're not thriving when in fact you are. If you look at verse 7 of our text, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Well, the world looks at a verse like that and wants it to mean something completely different, right? And our sinful natures want this to be like where Jesus is basically promising to be a genie in a lamp at our beck and call. Anything that we ask for him in this life, for him to do for us, he'll just do it because he's kind of forced to do it, right? Because he's promised that he would. You might even hear a Christian preacher occasionally claim that this is what Jesus meant in this verse, that all you got to do is name it and claim it, and then it will be yours, right? But if for some reason you're not getting what your little heart desires, and your life seems to be a little bit more like the red bud and not as much like the peach tree in the back, then sometimes the question is, well, what did you do wrong? What's the matter with you? Why aren't you connected to the vine enough? Don't you need to do more in order for this to happen for you? Where's the comfort in that? Thankfully, what Jesus is teaching us here in John 15 is the exact opposite of that. All of us in this earthly life are blessed way beyond what we deserve. There's no doubt about that. But even in those moments when it doesn't look like we're thriving, even in those moments when we're struggling, we're suffering, we wish that circumstances in our life were different than the way that they are, there is still comfort that comes from the Lord. And that comfort is when we remember that every single day we live in this broken world, we are actually experiencing a little bit of, let's say, transplant shock. Because the truth is, we are planted in foreign soil in this world. We are God's children, beloved children, and we are citizens of his heavenly kingdom. And yet, until that moment arrives when God calls us home for good, we're sort of trudging along in this veil of tears day after day. And so, just like with the red bud in the front lawn, sometimes you have to look really, really closely to see if you're even alive. Because it feels sometimes like we're just dead or we're dying or that there's absolutely no hope at all. But there is hope. And that hope, of course, comes from our connection to the true vine, the source of life, Jesus Christ himself, who comes and tends to us and nourishes us and prunes us. And he gives us the roots that we need by the power of his Holy Spirit. He helps us to grow because we can't do it on our own. He waters us with his gift of holy baptism. He nourishes us with his own body and blood in holy communion. Jesus is the one who causes us to bear good fruit. And that's something that never changes. It's true now. It'll be true tomorrow. It'll be true next year. It'll be true wherever you go, wherever you grow. It's always true. You're always connected to Christ in that way. Our lives do change, and our circumstances do change. And there are seasons when you feel like the red bud, and there's seasons when you feel like the peach tree. Right? Times and circumstances may change, but you, wherever you happen to feel like you are on that spectrum, you can always rest assured that you are, in fact, alive. You're not dead. You're not dying. You are alive because you are a branch connected to the vine. You are going to be transplanted again and again and again. But on the last day, you're going to be transplanted one final time. And on that day, that transplant is going to come without any shock whatsoever, because you're going to be transplanted into God's heavenly Garden of Eden, where he has prepared a place for you, where you will be watered and nourished for all eternity. You will abide in him, and you will bear good fruit forever and ever. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Just a couple short updates for you on our prayer list today. There are two families that we'll be praying for who are mourning the passing of loved ones. First, the family of Bill Lowry. That is the brother of Shannon Unverfurt. Bill passed away on Tuesday, and there's going to be a graveside committal service for him tomorrow. And then also, we're lifting up the family of Cindy Kuntz. That is the cousin of Charlene Bachman. Cindy passed away on Thursday. Please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have grafted us onto the vine of your Son. Prune us and cut off from us all sin and dead works, that we may always draw life from your Son and produce the fruits of faith and good works. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your only Son came in the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Protect us from all false teaching and the spirit of the evil one, that we may always confess Christ to be our only true God and remain faithful to him. Guide and bless the efforts of those you have called into mission and ministry, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein, serving you in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give health and guidance to our president and all in authority, that they may serve honorably and in accord with your good order. Protect and bless all those who serve in the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we thank you for the many gifts of earthly life. We ask you to continue to bless us as we grow, as branches connected to the vine. We rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Brody, Riley, Marge, Kellen, and Emma. We also thank you for the gifts of marriage and family and ask you to bless those who are celebrating special anniversaries, especially Earl and Shirley Schnicker. Help them to grow in love for you and for each other every day. We also give you thanks for the new life and salvation that you granted to Owen Sockleben through the waters of holy baptism yesterday afternoon. Help him to grow in his faith each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear and answer your children in their hour of need. Give aid to those who are on our prayer list this day, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Layla, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Dee, Verdell, Jim, Ray, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Case, Laverne, Norma, Diane, Brenda, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Grant that they would bear their crosses with faith, ever looking to you, and so fix their hearts where true joy is found. Bring comfort to those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Bill Lowry and the family and friends of Cindy Kuntz. Help us all to look forward to the day of resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are love, and always reveal your love through your Son. Grant that all who come to your feast of love may worthily eat of Christ's body and blood, so that whatever abides in this love forever abides in you, and you in him. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Hear and answer our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, and your saints shall bless you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just a friendly reminder that if you brought an offering or a tithe with you today, you can place that in the basket in the narthex on your way out. But at this time, we will sing an offertory hymn, Fruitful Trees, the Spirit's Sowing. Please stand. Lord, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn is, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. At this time, I'll invite our Sunday school students and teachers to dismiss and head on over to the school at this time. Good morning. It's good to be back, and there are a few things going on this week. Not a ton of announcements, but I want to let you know about a few meetings that are taking place. We have a PTL meeting happening tomorrow. That meeting had been rescheduled. It was supposed to be last week, and that didn't work out. So it'll be tomorrow, 7 o'clock, in the school basement. Also, the Ladies' Aid are planning to have their regularly scheduled meeting, and that's going to be Tuesday at 7 o'clock. They're asking that only members would attend this one due to some of the COVID cases that are still settling, as it says there in the bulletin. They're going to be wearing masks and socially distant. Same thing with the Women's Bible Study. That's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on the stage, and social distance will be observed there as well. Other than that, just want to remind you that Vacation Bible School is coming up. You can still register for that. You can find the link on our website. There's also a link on our Facebook page. Probably need to repost that so it's closer to the top. It's been a little while. It's probably kind of hidden down there at this point. So I'll try to do that for you this week. But please register. Let us know if you're interested in volunteering. Thankfully, we've had a number of volunteers step forward, but we do have a few more positions that are open for that. And so even if you can't be there the whole week for VBS, that's the last week of June, we can work with your schedule. So let us know if you're interested. We'd really appreciate that. And then besides that, there are a number of Christ Our Rock announcements in the bulletin today as well. And just want to mention, if any of you purchased the flowers for their recent fundraiser, those can be picked up this coming Tuesday, anywhere between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Are there any other announcements that I missed? Okay, well, seeing none, I'm going to, at this time, ask the elders to come forward and help me set the table for communion, and I'll invite the ushers to dismiss any of you who are not planning to stay. God's blessings to you the rest of this day and the rest of this week.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week.
Have a blessed week.